You're listening to Stags Radio, the home of AFC Totten's live matchday commentary. You're listening to Stags Radio, the home of AFC Totten's live matchday commentary. We'll be right back. You're listening to Stags Radio, the home of AFC Totten's live matchday commentary. You're listening to Stags Radio, the home of AFC Totten's live matchday commentary. Thank you. You're listening to Stags Radio, the home of AFC Totten's live matchday commentary. You're listening to Stags Radio, the home of AFC Totten's live matchday commentary.
Welcome back to Stags Radio, the second half. Just about to get underway here at the Corinium Stadium, where the current score is Cirencester Town 1, AFC Totten 0. Hello and welcome back to Stags Radio, your home of AFC Totten's live match day commentary. An early Ellison Dunn goal is the only thing that separates the two sides as we go into the second half here. I must say, after a bit of an early spell of dominance from the hosts, Totten looked the better side for much of the first half, but some resolute and some, well, brilliant last-ditch defending has made sure that Cirencester have maintained their lead through the break. So the side switching ends, with Totten now going right to left in the second half. Cirencester going left to right. Here's Taylor driving forward. He's got Sam Griffin making a run on the far side of the pitch. Instead goes back to N'Golo. He finds that ball through to Griffin. Regay is making a run on the overlap. And Regay gets the ball. Looks to fizz one across. Kasimu brings it down at the near post. Is there space for a shot? No, but he manages to buy the corner off the prostrate keeper. So a lively start to this second half. Just under a minute gone here. And already a set-piece situation for the visitors. Sean McLeod, our stadium announcer, not here today, but he reckons Totten going to win 2-1 with goals from Taylor and Kasimu. You do get the feeling that if Totten can break the deadlock and eventually get through, then they might be able to ride that into more goals. Here's Freddie Reid. Ball into the box, headed out by Anson. And a second header only goes as far as Taylor on the edge of the area. High ball. I think this is going to go wide and behind for the goal kick. Benjamin Rees here with you and clambering in to the corner on the far side. Just about getting his headset on and microphone in. Welcome back, Ben Jefford.
Thank you. Bit of a queue at the bar.
I figured there might have been. What have you gone for?
Just a Diet Coke with Guinness.
That sounds like a horrible combination.
Yeah, I need the Guinness.
Probably wise. What do you think Tottenham need to do in the second half to turn it round, aside from the obvious of put the ball in the back of the net?
Final ball, a little bit more quality, but sounds cliche, but we've got some great areas and we've literally just got to take our chances. I think we've had 6 or 7 clear-cut chances and haven't taken them first half.
Regay takes a throw on the near side, actually goes through Kasimu's legs, and Anderson plays the ball downfield. He's looking for Joshua Grace Parsons. Instead, Medway gets there. Jordan Ngalo plays it back to Kapugamu. Lewis Noyce waves him away and plays it short to Harry Medway. Next time the ball goes out of play, I will run you through the two lineups. Low, flat ball. Anson can't cut it out. High ball. Medway puts through it again. This time Reed has to come and cover. Regay, oh, he's going to lose out here to Thomas Anderson. And he's felled by Freddie Reed. Free kick goes the host's way. So for Cirencester, no changes for either side. Alexander Harris, Shane Anson, Tom Handley, Michael Pook, Jake Lee, Ellison Dunton, Thomas Anderson, Nick Hancock, Levi Irving, Joshua Grace Parsons and Joseph Shepherd. For AFC Tottenham, Lewis Noyce, Callum Bourne and Jordan Regett as the fullbacks. Medway and Kapugamu in the centre of defence. Freddie Reed, Jack Hoey and Jordan Gallo as a midfield three. And then Hisham Kasimu flanked by Ethan Taylor and Sam Griffin up front. Here's Reed, tries to play it out from the edge of the area. Lee puts a big brute through it, tries to get it downfield. Oh, well, shrugged off. Grace Parsons is shot, blocked by the legs of Lewis Noyce, and the header on the follow-up goes straight into Noyce's hands. He punts it downfield looking for Sam Griffin on the head of Anson, and they should head this all the way back to the keeper Harris, and they do. Lewis Noyce had to be very lively there at the start of the second half, because otherwise it could have been 2-0. Here's Irving looking to get a ball into the box. Ricochets off Bourne into the gloves of Lewis Noyce. So Cirencester, under the pump for much of the first half, look like they're starting the second half in the same bright manner as the first. Griffin puts his head through the ball. Hoey catches the midfielder late, and eventually the free kick is given. Referee looked for a potential advantage, but it didn't quite develop. Dan Sackman's given some loud and pointed instructions there. What sort of things does a manager say to you in the dressing room in a game like this when you're maybe a little bit unfortunate to be going in behind?
He would have probably said that we've, apart from the first 15 minutes, we've got in some great areas and we had the better chances in the game. So he's probably saying, trying to build the boys up for the second half, trying to keep their heads up, saying that we can get back into the game. But start the second half quickly, because if you start the second half quickly, it gives you a little bit of an edge.
Yeah, the sooner Tottenham can find an equalising goal, you know, the more pressure you put on the hosts here as they whip a ball in, looking for Grace Parsons. Oh, and in the end, it ricochets off the inside of the post. Nearly went all the way through. Lewis Noyce, I think, thought it was going wide. And in the end, he maybe got a little bit fortunate with that. Here's Sam Griffin. Has it charged down by Anson, but Freddie Reed emerges with the ball. Anson will put him under pressure. Kasimu gets out-muscled for it and then gives up the free kick. We'll say that I feel like a lot of the defending on Kasimu's been handsy.
Yeah, I don't think it's the game to play under Hish's feet. I think it's getting running in behind. Slide down the side of the centre-backs.
And you can see that a lot of times that has been the strategy. They just haven't been able to find those little pockets of space necessarily.
No, if we get Hisham behind, then chances are he'll take his chances from how he's played this year. But the final ball just isn't good enough.
Regay with a thumping clearance downfield, headed out by Dunton, the goal scorer. Might fall for Griffin here on the left-hand side. Not quite. Nice touches there. As Pook tries to play it forward. The clearance only halfway out. Here's Pook again. The opportunity, potential to put a ball in the box. That's good defending by Kapugamu. Danger's not clear yet. And on the ricochet, the ball volleyed into the ground. Over Lewis Noyce, into the net. And Cirencester have a 2-0 lead. It's Joseph Shepherd with the goal.
didn't clear the ball well enough. Took their chance. That's probably, what is it, maybe their second clear shot on goal?
Yeah, since that first goal, there was Grace Parsons was nearly through. Kapugami made a great recovering tackle. But otherwise, you know, Tottenham have had the ball in the Cirencester penalty area so many times, haven't found a way through. But Cirencester have not had many chances, but when they've got them, they've made them count.
That's the difference. They're 2-0 up at the moment. They've taken their chances and we haven't.
So a tough task for Tottenham. Just got even tougher. Cirencester undefeated at home in the league this season. And at the moment, unless the Stags can buck their ideas up, it's going to stay that way. Would not surprise me if Cirencester sat in a little bit deeper now. As Lewis Noyce has come a long way out of his goal, manages to get his foot to it. Anton comes over the back of Sam Griffin to win the header. Griffin's not given it up yet. Back to Anton, and that's going to go straight out of play for the throw. A couple of other goals to tell you about in the league. Barnstable took the lead at Cinderford just before half-time. Fulton Rovers equalised at home at Plymouth at home to Plymouth Parkway, but then Matthew Andrew has put the visitors back in front, so 2-1 there. As this is going to be another throw into Tottenham's half, much deeper in their own territory this time. Regay takes the throw in quick, back to Lewis Noyce. Plays it on the floor to Kapugamu. And he's going all the way back to his goalkeeper. Just outside his area, measuring a long ball downfield. He's looking for that aerial presence of Griffin on the header. Anson gets his head to it. Three in the midfield. Reed picks it up. He's found Hoey. Rolls it across for Reed. Brilliant sliding challenge there from Joseph Shepherd, who scored that goal at the start of the second half to put the hosts 2-0 to the good. And just, again, two strong spells in the first 5 minutes of either half. And for all the Tottenham pressure, they haven't found a way through as Taylor's ball is well cut out by the captain, Lee. Medway, his header ricochets off Grace Parsons. Going to be a throw on the halfway line. Regay finds Hoey. Slightly loose touch. Ricochets up in the air. And Hoey got the final touch, says the referee. And the referee's not happy about where they were trying to take that throw from. Just whistles them back into place.
I hate that when it's over literally 2 yards.
I mean, everyone seems to do it. I'm sure you have done it yourself.
So many times.
But it is frustrating when you see, okay, we'll start there and then we'll take a few yards on the run up to the throw.
I literally don't understand it.
Here's Kasimu. Well, doesn't quite fall at his feet. In the end, he gets over the ball. There's a header. This is not where Medway intended to put it. Bourne comes across to cover. Back to Lewis Noyce. Clears the ball high and long downfield. Lee heads the ball. Falls at the feet of Reed. And Hancock's ball forward. It's just going to be comfortable for Noyce to deal with. Sackman almost screaming at the players. Kapugamu looking for the long ball over the top for Kasimu. Tried to get it on the run. Doesn't quite fall for him though. Now Taylor's trying to press high up the pitch. Puts a little bit of pressure on Hanley. Manages to get the ball downfield. Hanley still down on the ground. He's beating the floor. I'm not sure that Taylor necessarily got too much on him or whether he just landed awkwardly, but he does not seem to be in a good way.
That was a weird one. The lino was right in front of where that happened. And the play carried on. The linesman didn't do anything and then started flagging when the referee looked round.
Yeah, I wonder if rather than flagging for an infringement, he's just trying to get the referee's attention. But it looks like the referee has gone into his pocket. And I think he probably will call Ethan Taylor over slowly. After all that screaming and rolling around, he's fine, by the way. The physio hasn't even come on.
But I don't think the referee's even seen that, to be honest. No, he's booking him something they haven't seen.
But, I mean, obviously you have to trust your assistants. You know, if they see things, make the right decision. But, yeah. I saw him take a note, but I did not see him actually show the yellow card. So we'll check on the video printer as another foul goes Siren Sesta's way. Just a little bit too physical in the defending there. So a set piece from a dangerous position here for Siren Sesta. And this Tottenham side in the second half, doesn't it look like they've got the same cut and thrust as they did in the first?
No, again, started the half slowly, which is disappointing after being 1-0 down at half-time.
So Hancock looking into the box. Free kick on the far side. High ball in towards the back post. Headed back across. Still not cleared. And then the volley comfortably over the bar and behind the shed end stand for a goal kick. But yeah, Tottenham have not... The side that we saw for most of the first half has not seemed to come out for the second.
No, it hasn't at all. The boys need to up it now.
Still playing with this high line. Maybe buoyed by the fact that they were able to escape unscathed in the first half through a combination of brilliant last-ditch defending. Sam Griffin can't win the header against Anson, but Anson only heads it out of play. Stephen Snow gives the ball quickly to Jordan Regay. He throws it short to Reed. And Regay can't keep the header in. It's just a little bit too high for him. And this time the throw is in the hands of Siren Sesta. Anson with a long throw downfield. I think that's come off Grace Parsons. No, Medway got the final touch. So Anson jogs down the touchline. His hair jangling behind his head. Anson looks to clip one over the top. Not sure anyone was quite ready for it. And Medway wins the free kick. Just had his body in the way there. Felt the little push in the back, perhaps from Hancock. Went to the ground. And the referee gives the decision his way, which Grace Parsons is not happy about.
No, I think it's good defending from Harry. He's realised a bit of contact was coming. He's gone down. The person that was on here that was commenting about a beer.
Yeah.
That was Adam Tommaso.
Of course, not with the squads today, but good to hear him listening in regardless. Hope you're doing okay. Long ball from Noyce. Medway tries to get the head to it. Kapugamu at the second time, and now Medway hooks it forward looking for Taylor. Taylor heads the ball on. Kasimu's not going to give this up easily. Lee's gone to the floor, and Lee wins the free kick as well.
Looks like Shaq's getting warm.
Yeah, you do wonder at what point they start to think about potential substitutions. Just under 15 minutes gone here in this second half. There's been another goal, by the way, at Lymington Town, where Luke Bollinger gets his second of the day to put Melksham level at 2 apiece. Still no goals to tell about in the game between Froome and Winchester.
Good.
Like you say, it does look like Shaq Gwangui is getting ready to come on. Not seen an indication for who that will be. Come on. Couple of Siren Sesta players on the ground. Sam Griffin tries to hook it downfield. Can't connect with Hoey. And Anson's clearance goes straight out of play. Well fielded by a fan. How's that? Regay, I think, is going to throw this all the way back to Lewis Noyce. That is where he goes. He's got Kapugamu for a short option, but he chooses instead to play it long downfield, looking for Kasimu. Strong header from Lee, only as far as N'Golo. It's still N'Golo, but a couple of players crowd him out of action. And now long over the top. Grace Parsons was offside, so he does not get involved. Medway plays it downfield, but this is slightly loose. Lewis Noyce has come a long way out of his goal. This should be no problem for him, though. And again, playing it long downfield. A little bit frustration showing there from Kasimu. Here's Bourne playing it short to Reed. Kapugamu looks for his options, goes to Hoey. Hoey switches it out to Bourne. Maybe just trying to coax them out a little bit here. Reed picks up and turns with the ball, overlaps it down the right-hand side, but it's too far for Bourne to keep in. That sharpness has disappeared. A few loose touches slipping in, it seems. Thrown on the far side that Handley will take. no goals to tell you about in the Premier League yet either today, at least not in the 3 o'clock kickoffs. Aston Villa impiling more pain on Everton there with a 1-0 win early in the day through an Emi Buendia goal. Here's Freddie Reid. He goes to Taylor. Taylor on the edge of the area just doesn't quite work his way free. And Ngolo tries to get a touch there. Jordan Rugger, I think, is going to get this in. Not quite. And Ngolo looked frustrated because he thought clearly that Anderson had the final touch. Anderson has the ball in his hands, ready for the throw. Looking for Grace Parsons downfield, tussling with Medway. And Medway there is able to see the ball behind. Not for the goal kick. I don't think he can quite believe it. He looks indignant, but it is going to be a corner. Joshua Grace Parsons worked hard for that, and he got the decision.
Cheers, Ad. Got the face for a radio.
Me too. So an opportunity to put the ball in here from the corner. They're not even thinking about the short option. So no doubt where it's going to go. In towards the box, over everyone's head. Player free at the far post. And Regay charges it down. It's going to be a corner on the far side this time.
Unmarked at the back stick.
Dangerous. Regay was able to come across and cover. But letting players get free in the penalty area from a corner is a recipe for disaster, usually.
Yeah, we've conceded a few goals this year from corners, and that was not too promising.
There was a spell earlier in the season where we really struggled to defend set pieces. Ironed that out a little bit, but it might be creeping back in as that cross goes all the way through and behind for a goal kick. Just begging for someone to just tap it goalwards, but no one could apply the finishing touch, and there is going to be a double substitution here for the Stags. First up, making way, Jordan Ngolo will be replaced by Jack Masterton. Shaq Gwengui is going to be the other player coming on, and Ethan Taylor will make way. Maybe because he picked up that booking, that might be part of the reason. So Jack Masterton, again, will just ideally move the ball quickly here for AFC Tottenham. Quick one-touch football. And Gwengui again just provide a little bit more cut and thrust going forward again. Portland Rovers trailing 2-1 at home to Plymouth Parkway, and they've had Kyle Anderson sent off for a second bookable offence. Throw in here for Siren Sester. The ball clear was met with vociferous jeers from the home fans. See if a little bit of fresh legs can help energise the Stags here. Griffin brings the ball down in the middle of the park. He's looking for the run from Gwengui. I don't think Gwengui's quite going to be able to get there in time. Puts his hand up in appreciation though. Likes that Griffin was looking for that option. And then eventually, the goalkeeper falls on the ball.
Yeah, right idea from Griff. Just too much weight on the pass.
Harris with an agricultural punt downfield. Kapugamu, he's getting a lot of... there's a lot of appealing for stuff down from the Cirencester fans where he's tussling with Grace Parsons, but referee didn't see anything out of place there, and neither did I. And Medway's pass under pressure is loose and out of play. Nothing Regay can do about that.
No, sloppy that was.
Go ahead.
Noisy, not great ball to Harry. Harry's chasing after it and then he's just knocked out for a throw.
Yeah, Siren says it feels like they're pressing a little higher up the pitch now, trying to put the defenders under pressure. Up against the pump, 2-0 down. And another free kick, throwing even to Siren Sester. See, Jordan Ngolo's found a big, thick coat. Very, very sensible plan. Ball down by the corner flag here for Siren Sester. Can they find an opportunity to get a ball into the box? Here's Anson. Hoey charges it down. Kasimu follows it up. Hoey rolls across to Reed, and he's able to find Bourne. Bourne looking to clip one over the top for Griffin. I don't think Griffin's quite going to get there. Dunton scored the first goal, comes across to cover, but Bourne's there to win it back. Going inside to Masterton. Masterton all the way across to Jordan Regay. He's trying to find Kasimu. Kasimu turning outside. Can he get past Anson? He can. Looking for the byline. And Anson puts the ball behind. And it must have taken a last little touch off Kasimu because it's a Cirencester goal kick. And again, Cirencester, as you might expect for a team who are 2-0 up, just taking their time over this goal kick. Not in any rush to get the ball back in play. A little over halfway through the second half. Cirencester 2, AFC Tottenham 0 is the current score. First half effort from Ellison Dunton. Doubled by a Joseph Shepherd volley. There's a player on the ground on the far side under a little bit of tussling from Gwengui. Referee calls Gwengui over and he helps up his opposite number. I think it might be Dunton, who is on the turf. The AstroTurf, I should say, as well. Sun beginning to set, so the floodlights really taking effect now. And eventually Harris takes the free kick, plays it long, down the left-hand side. Bourne now tries to head it out. But it feels like Cirencester have been buoyed up by that second goal. Tottenham's heads have dropped slightly. And there's another player who looks like he's going down for Cirencester. Don't think it's a head injury, so the referee is not necessarily obliged to stop the game. But having said that, maybe it is. Obviously, the referee can see it a lot better than I can. He's beckoning the Cirencester physio over. The Cirencester physio didn't look interested for a while, but he has now finally made his way onto the pitch.
Yeah, it looks like he's got a nosebleed from here.
Ah, that might be it, actually. So in which case, it is technically a head injury.
Is it still 0-0 in the Winch game?
It is still 0-0 in the Winchester game. No goals to tell you about in the Premier League either. In the three games between Brentford and Wolves, Leeds and Newcastle and Man U West Ham. The Brentford-Wolves game is still at half-time. There was a delay for two Brentford concussions, and then someone was flying a drone over the stadium, so they had to stop. And now the referee's communication, like their mics and things, aren't working, so they haven't started the second half yet.
Oh my God.
I know, right? Even one of those things is unusual for all three.
Might as well just get rid of VAR and then they won't have all the technical problems.
I just think like someone's decided that this match doesn't want to finish today. It feels a little bit sometimes if you play, you'll play even lower down the pyramid, then you get those games where at half-time, like, all the lights go out and it's like, we'll come back and play it tomorrow.
Yeah. Normally non-league, though, they put 50p in the meter and they all come back on again.
Yeah, we've done that here on Stags Radio a couple of times, to be fair.
Doug wouldn't spend 50p.
No, it's me, obviously. To be fair, it's easy. You just swipe your card through now. It's brilliant. Here's Jack Masterton bringing the ball out of defence, going to Regay. You can see there's more press going from Cirencester when Tottenham have got the ball. And there's those connections in the middle of the park, in between the midfield and the attack. They just haven't quite linked up today. Masterton goes to Regay. He's found Griffin. Griffin to Hoey. Tries to slip through Griffin again, standing up against Lee. Griffin looking for a ball into the area. It falls at the feet of Hoey. Defender is right there to cut it out. Hoey couldn't get it loose. Opportunity perhaps for a Cirencester counter. Kapugamu comes to press. The ball goes back and a high ball over the top. Comfortably dealt with by Noyce, who goes all the way over the top. Headed back to the goalkeeper by Lee, and he should eventually... Well, he doesn't look interested in picking it up. He's just going to roll it along the floor for a bit. And then going to pick it up. Everyone knows what's going to happen, but... Again, it's one of the dark arts of game management, I think they call it.
Yeah, exactly.
Cirencester coming forward now. On the left-hand side, trying to stand a ball in. Jordan Regay does enough to win the aerial tussle with Grace Parsons. And now Regay tries to play it down the pitch. Good sliding challenge, nearly intercepts. Anson up against Gwengui. And Hoey leaves it for Reed. Reed to Masterton, across to Kapugamu. He's found Masterton. First-time pass. Out to Vaughan. That's what you get from Masterton. The vision and the quick one-touch passing. Trying to break the lines through to Hoey now. He's got the overlapping run. Instead, go inside to Kasimu. Turning it round the corner. Hoey back into the box. And no! Griffin's first-time instinctual finish. Just tried to flick it in with the inside of his right boot. Couldn't quite get the angle right. And then Regay charges down the clearance for a Cirencester throw. Again, that's the best chance Tottenham have had in the second half. And they couldn't quite make it work.
Yeah, another great chance. I think the ball was just a little bit behind Griff. And he couldn't get enough on it. That's another chance that goes begging.
Tried to flick it. As the ball was coming through him, tried to flick it with the inside of his right foot, behind his left foot, towards the goal. And he couldn't quite get it right. Anson will take a long throw downfield. But this is comfortable for Hoey to head in play. Grace Parsons tussles with Kapugamu. And Marston's header back to Medway. Clears it downfield looking for Gwengui. Here's Marston now in the midfield. First time pass looking for Griffin. Well read though by Handley. Might fall here for Callum Bourne. Bourne's got Griffin good in the count. Outside, taking advantage of Handley out of position. Griffin looking to get it into the box. Blocked and behind for a corner. It feels like those substitutions have brought some energy to Tottenham.
Yeah, it looks like gone two up top with Shaq in. Check and Hish down the middle.
Masterton moving the ball quickly. Gwengri running at defenders. And actually, as you mentioned that we had a little bit of a nosebleed earlier from, I think, Levi Irving. He's coming off the pitch again. I think he wants, I think he's looking for some sort of tissue just to block that up. It's never nice, these.
It's only a little runny nose, it'll be all right.
Masterton with the left footer in towards the area. The goalkeeper rises highest to punch clear. Everyone in the Cirencester half. Yeah, I've now got some tissue up that nose. He's being waved on by the referee. Into the area. Here's Kasimu with the outside of his left foot towards goal. Harris makes himself big and makes the save. Now the chances are beginning to come from Tottenham. Have they left it too little too late, or can they salvage something from this game? Long ball over the top looking for Irving. Noyce will deal with that comfortably. He goes short to Regay. Inside to Reed. Reed finds Griffin. He's going all the way back to Noyce. They're just trying to coax Cirencester out of their shell a little bit here. Give themselves some more space to work with when they come forward. Medway and Masterson playing a little bit of 1-2. Trying to work their way down the pitch. It's with Kapugamu going across to Medway. Hoey's offering a short option. Instead, he's going out to Regay. Regay to Hoey. Hoey's got a little bit of space here to look up and try and find a pass. Doesn't see one, so rolls across to Kapugamu. Everyone now in Cirencester's half again, with the exception of Lewis Noyce in the Tottenham goal. Here's Masterton going across to Regay. Regay looking for options. He's going to drive down the left-hand side. Put the ball in. And the block flies in from Pook to steer it behind for the corner. Tottenham really beginning to come forward with some verve now.
Yeah, a lot better. I think the whole Cirencester team there, all 11 of them, were within their first quarter of the pitch.
The risk, obviously, now is that, obviously, A, you can get hit on the counter, and B, Cirencester, with a two-goal advantage, just happy to commit men behind and defend in numbers.
Yeah, you can see already they've dropped deeper since their second goal.
Reed's ball into the box. I think it was Kapugamu who won the header, but again, didn't fall goalwards. Header looking for Freddie Reed on this near side. He's done well to keep that one in. And Hoey looks at the opportunity to try and drive and get a cross in. Loses out, and Anson is going to clear this downfield. Grace Parsons tussling with Regay, and actually there's going to be a free kick given for a foul on Anson. A couple of goals to hear about as well. William Tucker has doubled Barnstable's lead. They're now 2-0 up at Cinderford Town, looking to beat the odds and escape the drop. And Jaden Nielsen has put Bristol Manor Farm 2-0 up at home to Evesham. still no goals to tell you about in the game at Winchester where they host Froome. There is a goal to tell you about in the Premier League. First of the day, or first of the 3 o'clock kickoffs. And it has come... Oh, the two goals. One at Wolves. João Moutinho has given them a 1-0 lead at Brentford. And Jonjo Selvi has put Newcastle 1-0 up at Leeds in a potential relegation six-pointer. Throw into Tottenham down by their own corner flag. Wouldn't surprise me if they... the management side would have asked the fans to not get that ball in play so quickly.
Yeah, I can imagine. Someone's commented on how you say Reggett.
Well, the reason I must admit that for the longest time we thought it was Reggett, obviously, because that's how we pronounced it. But we found out, was it last week, that he pronounces it Reggae. So
I think he's trying to sound posh, but he's from Portsmouth, so he won't be able to sound posh.
I mean,
are you from a PO postcode as well?
I am in a PO postcode. Unfortunately, I'm on the other side of the harbour. And yes, there is a worse side of the harbour than Portsmouth. Here's Bourne. Reed brings the ball across the halfway line, goes to Bourne, providing an overlap. Inside now to Griffin. He's got a little bit of space. Turns back outside, finds Bourne. Bourne coming forward with the ball. Wants an option, doesn't see it, rolls it back to Reed. Now Bourne has come very far forward on the edge of the area. He shoots, but he slipped as he did so, and it's over the netting behind the goal. And the referee is going to ask for another ball as that goes out for a goal kick. Unfortunately, he lined it up nicely, and then just as he went, he just didn't get that foot right.
No, he was a little bit off balance there. Cal likes a shot from about 50 yards out, normally with his left foot instead of his right.
Hey, if it goes in, I don't care where he takes it from.
Yeah, hopefully it will soon.
Another goal at Bristol Manor Farm. Maybe it's not all over yet. Kyle Belmonte has put Evesham back in the game. They only trail 2-1 now. Still a tough task, but it is possible. Tottenham looking for much of the same here, but being thwarted by Cirencester. Usually resolute at home. Here's Jack Masterton. Looking for Hish, making an overlapping run. Goes to the touchline, wants to put the ball in, looking for Gwengui. Under pressure now. Cirencester managed to clear. This should be comfortable for Bourne to deal with. Almost famous last words there, but he does so. Plays it back to Kapugamu. Temperature's certainly dropped a degree or two here. Mm. Getting reasonably frosty feet. Here's Medway. Goes to Reed. First time pass to Reggae. Hish. On the left touchline to Reed. And now Kasimu gets the ball back. Kasimu into the area, looking for the cutback. Can it be turned in? No, good defending.
Tell you what, I think if Hish goes down there, then he could have a chance of a penalty there.
Dan Sackman and the management side were loudly shouting at the referee. They thought there was at least a free kick in there somewhere. The referee just shook his head and moved on. Always a thankless task, refereeing. High ball cleared downfield. Kapugamu on the chest goes to Masterson, and Masterson plays it all the way back to Noyce. Noyce now out to Reggae. Tries to take it on the run, and his first touch just escaped him there. Looks frustrated with himself as the ball goes out of play for a throw. And it looks like there's going to be the first Cirencester substitution of the day. I think it is Ellison Dunton who scored their first goal. Oh, no, maybe not. The referee, the assistant's changed his board. It is Joshua Grace Parsons coming off. Worked hard, but hasn't found the back of the net today to be replaced by Benjamin Whitehead. His rich goal-scoring form at the start of the season has escaped him over the past month and a half or so, but...
Yeah, hasn't really done much today.
Benjamin Whitehead now will try and cause some problems for the Tottenham defence. Kasimi was having a little bit of a conversation with the referee there. Anson takes the throw. Everyone in the same area of the field. Masterton gets the ball clear, looking for Gwengui. Headers up, but not out from Handley. Owe, ball towards the far side. Gwengui will try and chase this. I don't think he's going to get there first. Dunton clears. flags up for offside. And Medway now just looking for an option from the free kick. Goes back to Lewis Noyes. Noyes, he's looking for Griffin here. Tries to flick it round the corner past Anson. Anson just about recovers in time. Reggett puts pressure on and Griffin wins the ball back. Reed can play this out first time to Bourne. That's where he goes. Bourne looking for the ball into the area. Headed high by Lee. Griffin can follow this up. Lays it off for Reggett. Looking for Gwengery at the far post. Headed clear once more. Two players take themselves out for Cirencester. One of them still on the floor. Griffin on the edge of the area. Finds a shot on goal. Well saved by Alexander Harris. Diving low to his right. Just didn't quite have the venom behind that shot that perhaps he would have liked. Cirencester player still down and the referee will wave the physio on.
I think Jack Marston's made a difference since he's come on.
I think he has as well. And this is going to be the final substitution of the day. It is Lewis Waterfield who will make his way onto the pitch. And coming off is Callum Bourne. So maybe getting a more attacking-minded player on in that right-back position. And would not surprise me if Waterfield and Reggae almost not even playing as fullbacks now, as wing-backs or even midfielders.
Yeah, well, there's nothing to lose now. Obviously, 2-0 down. We come here and could have done with a result. Obviously, the game's not over, but 2-0 isn't looking likely at the moment. So why not go a little bit more attacking?
Yeah, probably about 10 minutes left in this game. Zachary Drew has pulled one back for Cinderford Town, so they're only 2-1 down at home to Barnstable. Just trying to get in the... Just trying to see if Ben Rocky Adams can get his little timer up. Seven or so minutes.
I knew Rocco was here for a reason.
Gives us a thumbs up in front of us. Player still down receiving treatment here, so I must admit there's been a few stoppages. Physio's come on a couple of times, so there could be a decent amount of injury time to play. There's a young fan in front of us playing football on the sidelines with the bubble from his hat. I never realised what bubbles were for, but I guess now I know. Looks like there's going to be another Cirencester sub as well. Joe Turley is the man who's going to come on. And Thomas Anderson is going to be replaced. I think Anderson might be the player who was down following that collision with a teammate on the edge of their penalty area.
I've only just realised I was at Forest Green with him.
Who?
Tom Anderson. He was in the youth team when I was in the first team. And I've only just realised it's him.
Maybe go and say hello later. Forest Green are doing well, aren't they?
Yeah, very well, yeah.
Harris takes his time with the goal kick. This has gone very high. Just about crosses the halfway line. Headed on by Hancock and out of play for a throw. And the kid does not look in a rush to give the ball back.
He wanted to take it home.
He's taking a leaf out of that ball boy at Swansea against Aiden Hazard. Anson's header goes all the way through to Kasimu, but it just bounces a little bit high and allows Cirencester to recover. And Anson puts the ball out of play for a throw. And this time the catch is dropped in the crowd. Here's Reggae, and the ball comes out of his hands, doesn't actually make its way onto the pitch. That time he gets it much better. And it's at the feet of Reggae, trying to play it forward. Eventually finds it to Kasimu, ball back to Reggae, runs free. A little bit, you can tell that they're a little bit frustrated. They haven't had it, haven't quite had the running necessarily in the second half. And they're just not... The crispness of the passes isn't there. The accuracy, the waiting. Just all not quite going to plan right now for Tottenham.
No. Should take the chances first half. Second half, obviously, Cirencester got their second goal and they've dropped off.
We did say it, that if you don't take your chances, you can potentially be made to pay for it. And that's exactly, to Cirencester's credit, what they've done. They might have another opportunity now.
Tommaso, leave me alone.
Irving is pressured by Waterfield on the far side, and it is a throw to Siren Sester, right down by the corner flag. Time running out here, about 5 minutes left. Even less in some of the other games, still no goals between Winchester and Froome. Long throw potentially from the far side. Sid, they go short. And Waterfield charges it down, and this is going to be a corner now. And this again will just take a little bit more time out of the game. No one's in a rush to take it, it looks like, for Siren Sester. And to be fair to them, why would they be?
Exactly, 2-0. They're doing the right thing. Doing the same as what we would do.
You hate to see it when it's against you, but I think you begrudgingly have to acknowledge that if the boot were on the other foot, they'd probably do the same. They take the corner short and they're already into time-wasting mode. And Jack Howie does well to win the ball for a throw. And he's picked the ball up and tried to walk away with it there. And he's going to be booked for his troubles as well. Clear time-wasting measure by Nick Hancock, and the referee takes a very dim view of it. Just going to get a quick little timer update. Just over a minute and a half plus stoppages. Time rapidly running out for the Stags here. Regay going forward to Griffin. Griffin up against Anson. Cutting back inside. Goes to Masterton. Stops the ball dead. Plays it back out to Griffin. Now he's gone back to Medway. Option of Lewis Waterfield on the far side. Goes all the way back to Kapugamu, however. Kapugamu loses the ball and then is able to recover it to prevent the quick counter-attack as Medway is tripped there. Kapugamu stops the ball, wants to take the free kick quickly. He now plays it to Regay. He's got Gwengui making a run down this left-hand side. Players beginning to arrive in the box. Gwengui plays it with Regay. Now tries to work himself space for an opening. He's got into the box here. Still Gwengui has to turn and go back outside to Regay. Regay's ball into the box, charged down. It comes to Griffin on the edge of the area. Shoots. Blocked again, this time by Michael Pook. Hoey reads it and picks it up on the edge of the area. Tries to slip through a player on the overlap, but I don't think Waterfield's going to be able to get in behind. And they run it out of play for the goal kick. Again, the number of times that we've seen Siren Sester players just commit to getting their bodies in the way to block and charge down these shots is something to applaud.
Yeah, I was just about to say, they defended really well today. We got some great areas, but especially first half, they've put bodies in front of the ball, desire to keep it out of the net.
5 minutes of injury time. So there is still life in this contest for the Stags to potentially rescue an unlikely draw. Another goal to tell you about at Cinderford. They were 2-0 down at home to Barnstable. Zachary Drew scored their first, and Zachary Drew has scored their second to put it level at 2-2. Regay runs it a little bit too far. Anson recovers, but the ball goes to Reed. Regay picks himself up, looking inside. Gwengui lets it run for Hoey. Tries a little back heel to Kasimu. Gwengui was there as well, but neither of them could make it stick. Now Griffin plays the first time ball out to Waterfield. Waterfield chases it, keeps it in bounds. Plays it to Kasimu on the edge of the area. Kasimu looking goalwards. Finds Gwengui. Doesn't see an option he likes central. Goes out to Waterfield. Overlapping run from Kasimu. Back to Waterfield. They need to find a way to get the ball into the box here, into a shooting position. It might be with Griffin. Gets a little bit of a push. Referee doesn't see a problem with it though. And a long ball downfield. Medway's there with Whitehead. Medway wins the challenge. Plays it back to Noyce. First time out to Regay. Regay, first time. He's looking for Gwengui. He's going to have some chase to keep this in, and Shaq's not even going to be able to get that, despite how fleet of foot he is. Final change now coming for the hosts. Again, just taking a little bit more time out of the game. You should have time on for substitutions, but it never seems to be the same amount of time. Levi Irving coming off to be replaced by Ross Gabriel. Bristol Manor Farm have held on late at home to Evesham to take home a 2-1 win. High ball downfield from the throw. Hoey wins the first and the second header. Griffin tries to hook it over his head, looking for Kasimu on the edge of the area. Harris comes, he gets there just before Kasimu. Now Waterfield will try and bring the ball back downfield again. Nice pass from Reed. Hoey from the edge of the area, not far over the bar, but he can't keep his shot down and hit the target. Saw the opportunity, tried to take it, but just didn't have the accuracy on the shot. There is a late, late goal at Old Trafford. We've heard of Fergie time. I guess now they've got Rangnick time as well. Marcus Rashford has put them 1-0 up just before the final whistle.
Oh.
You hate to see it.
Yeah. Don't want United to do well.
No, please go back to feeding our hungry children, Marcus Rashford, because the government don't seem interested. But that's enough of that. Flags up for offside on the far side. Referee spots it. I think before Hancock did. Masterton wants to get the ball down into position quickly. Stops it.
It's got to be about only 3 minutes left, maybe 2 minutes.
Probably 2 minutes, if that. Here's Waterfield. Going to Reed. Reed to Kapugamu. Yeah, 2 minutes. Over the top to Regay. Cuts inside. Gets a little bit of space to work with. Tries to slip through Kasimu. Well read by the defence. When those opportunities have opened, they've shut the door. Now long ball downfield. Just don't want to get it anywhere near their own goal, Siren Sester. Lewis Noyce plays it first time out to Kapugamu. They've got to go at pace here. They've got to attack quickly. Full time at Winchester. No goals to tell you about. Still, as it ends, Winchester 0, Froome 0.
That makes this result even more frustrating.
On the run, challenge goes in and must have clipped the player there for Siren Sester, who's still down on the ground. I think he'll be fine. Not a surprise to see him get up. He's a little bit lame, but not really a problem. Daniel McBeam has got an injury time equaliser for Mangotsfield. So they're now 2-2 level with Willand Rovers. There's been another goal to tell you about as well at the other end of the table. High ball. Griffin challenges underneath it. Tries to release Kasimu, but he's run hard, Hish, but he hasn't got the rewards. As Medway tussles with Whitehead and wins the throw. It's come at Cinderford. They were 2-0 down. Zachary Drew scored the first and then the second, and he has now completed his hat-trick. As Cinderford, from 2-0 down, come back for a 3-2 lead. Full-time at Lymington. So they have taken some valuable points. 2-2 level with Melksham, and the final whistle goes here as well. And Siren Sester scored early. We're up against it for most of the first half. Totten huffed and puffed, but couldn't find a way through after Ellison Dunton's opener. An early second half goal as well put them 2-0 up, thanks to Joseph Shepherd. And from there, Totten began to have a little bit more energy and excitement later on, but constantly repelled by some resolute Siren Sester defending. And the final score, Siren Sester Town 2, AFC Totten 0.
Yeah, very disappointing performance in the end. Second half, I thought we was going to come out and we was going to push them and go for it. Really, we had nothing to lose. 6 points behind, games in hand. Could have gone for it. The second half just wasn't to be. First half, should have took our chances.
And that is the thing. Obviously, it's always frustrating when you can't, you know, when you feel that you don't necessarily get the rewards you deserve. But credit to Siren Sester, because in the second half, they, in the first half, they maybe got a little bit lucky, but in the second half, generally, they looked in control of the game, I think. Yeah. Tottenham had a lot of the ball, but not many clear-cut chances.
Especially their second goal. Then their time management was good. And you can see their experienced side. They scored the second goal, felt comfortable when they saw the game out.
And that's the sign of a good side. You know, maybe if you're not actually at your best, you can still, when you get your chances, you take them, and then you're able to see the game out from there. And that has, let's see, have a look how that will affect the table, Division 1 South. Siren Sester maintain their lead at the top of the table. 4 points clear now of Froome, although Froome have a game in hand. So as it stands, here are the top five places. Cirencester played 23 games, have 51 points. Froome played 22 games, have 47 points. Totten played 21 games, have 42 points. Winchester played 23 games, also have 42 points. And Scholing on 19 games, have 40 points.
Yeah, we need to win our games in hand.
That is the key.
Simple as that.
There is still another fixture against Cirencester to be played at the Snow Stadium later in the season. So if you know, Totten can win those games in hand, can beat Cirencester at home, all hope is certainly not lost as they push for a title. But they know now they can scarcely afford any more slip-ups.
No, can't slip up again. Needs to pick up results, be more consistent and win our games in hand. Simple as that.
A frustrating day, but Stags will have to, you know, pick their heads up, pick their tails up, look at the footage, see what they can glean and learn from this game. They do say that sometimes you can perhaps learn more from your defeats than you can from your victories.
Yeah, you know, we're coming for the game on Tuesday. Sacco's Mikey, Robbo, they'll all watch the game back. We'll have a plan for Tuesday, and then Thursday we'll be back on training field and working towards next Saturday.
So you're still out for another couple of weeks, but even if you are not on the microphone, we shall see you at Scholing.
Cheers, Benji. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. Honestly, I've really enjoyed it. It's a shame, obviously, about the result, but it's been a pleasure having you in the booth.
Yeah, it's been good. I'll do it again sometime.
We would love to have you back, of course.
You big flirt.
We'll make the most of you now while you're on the sidelines. Thank you very much for listening to Stags Radio. As we mentioned, next game on Tuesday, we are away at Scholing. We would love to see you down there at the McCoy Stadium. But if you can't join us, or even if you can in person, then of course you can listen to the game on Stags Radio. It's a 7:45 kickoff, so we'll be on air from 7:15 with pre-match build-up from 7:30. Thank you very much for listening to Stags Radio, your home of AFC Totten's live match day commentary. For Ben Jefford, I've been Benjamin Rees. And the final score here is Cinderford Town 2, AFC Totten 0. Have a very good afternoon.